coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It is the Hagman Report for today, Monday, the 10th day of July, 2024. Yeah, go back in time, right? Yeah. A lot of information to get through, a lot of things to say. And really, this is kind of a sad, I believe this is a sad time in our country's history. In the run-up for this show preparation today, it was difficult for me to really consolidate. I suppose that's the word, consolidate. The sources, the various videos, the audio clips, the topics, because there's so much going on right now. And really, minutes before airtime, I decided this. I read something at the Conservative Treehouse, written by Sundance, who anyone who follows me or listens and watches this platform knows. I do follow the Conservative Treehouse. The guys, Sundance, is plugged in. Now, do I agree with 100%? No, probably 95.9% maybe. But one thing that got my attention was somewhat unrelated to even the headline. It was a paragraph. It was a paragraph in a story or in an article. And it was about, the article was about who President Trump's vice presidential nominee is going to be. And of course, there's talk about Rubio, and there's talk about all of these different people. Ben Carson, which personally is my favorite, as it is his, for many reasons. And he's got, if you are into that website, that Conservative Treehouse, the articles, there's something that he has called the Big Ugly, and then, you know, go deep, and you can really get into depth, depending on your level of interest in various things and various items. So I'm scanning through the various articles, and the one titled Rubio and the $64,000 question. And there was a question apparently, or as it is presented here from a reader, and you can read, folks, on Rumble or Brighteon, and I ask that you please subscribe to our channel on Rumble, our channel on Brighteon, whichever you prefer. But I've got to tell you, I'm going to disclose something here in this first segment that hopefully will compel you to subscribe. Hopefully will compel you to understand what's at stake. Well, you know what's at stake, but where we stand in this. But the question was, to boil it down, what are we to make of President Trump's possible choice of Marco Rubio as his VP? So the answer, of course, Sundance somewhat minimizes the actual question. But what caught my attention is about the sixth or seventh paragraph down. And that is where it says, when I say good. Because he was talking about, the paragraph preceding that is, my personal preference is Dr. Ben Carson. And by the way, as is mine, for all the reasons I've previously mentioned, go deep. And if you click on that link, you can see, you can really get into the granular level details about the whole president, vice president issue, as well as Dr. Ben Carson and Donald Trump and so on. But he writes this, and this is what caught my attention, and this is what best encapsulates, I believe, this show today, as well as the situation we're in. In this election, good is going head to head against evil. And now think about that sentence for a moment. I do believe that's the case. Now, and I'm sure the majority of people listening to this believe that's the case. Some see no good, while others see no evil. That's my statement. And there are problems with both of those selective observations. But let me read what he wrote here. When I say good versus evil, let me give context, because and this is written at that website. These are the stakes, he writes. Given the nature of potential nuclear weapon use, three simultaneous global conflicts, likely four with Taiwan, a looming Third World War, hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of slaughtered people, the likely elimination of the dollar as the global reserve currency for around half of the world, a dollar-based central bank digital currency created by the U.S. Treasury, that is, if Biden wins, the catastrophic consequences in the lives of ordinary Americans, and essentially the end of projected USA power and the economic security that goes with it, there may not be a familiar tomorrow if the election goes the wrong way. Now, you can put a period, exclamation point, or two or five after that. That encapsulates, I believe, where we're at today. It leaves a lot of things out. For example, the genocide. The genocide against the West specifically, but the world population, the useless eaters, through the clot shots. And yes, the Ninth Circuit Court did identify those injections as mRNA therapy or mRNA gene manipulation, as opposed to vaccines, which is an entirely different program. Folks, I got all of the 1,000 emails about that. I got it. The Ninth Circuit Court in the U.S. reclassified the shots. But as I spoke last week, we've seen a lot of exposure now, exposing Fauci, exposing the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the U.S., the Department of Defense, DARPA, all of the various entities, agencies, individuals, Peter Daszak, Ralph Baric, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, the various labs hidden around this country as well as in Ukraine, the genocide, the effects of the jab. And as long as I'm going down that road, Michael Yon, who's a friend of mine, friend of this program, is over in Tokyo right now, Japan, at the it would be the equivalent of Arlington National Cemetery over there. And he, on X or Twitter, whatever, he talks about the upcoming jabs. And sadly, again, this all kind of munges together. The lack of the Japanese people to really have what we have here in America because of their language barriers. Most of the Japanese only speak Japanese, this monolinguistic situation there. And the lack of information for the Japanese people. But I digress. I don't want to dwell on that. Except to say that they're having a jab fest, so to speak, next week. This week. And most of the people over there have gotten like seven jabs in total, six, seven, whatever it might be. I'll put the link to Michael Yon's report in the show prep at HagmanPI.com. But I want to say more about this good versus evil. Let me just take a quick break here. And I want to talk to you about something I found very interesting. Folks, if you're looking for something to get dad for Father's Day, I've got something for you. This is really neat. I have this at my office. I've tried this. It really works really well, actually. I'm excited about it. You know, because something odd's been happening with the weather in the past several months. Countries across the globe are experiencing some of the hottest temperatures on the planet ever recorded. What's worse is if the power goes out during those extreme heat waves. And I know you know somebody in areas where the power might go out and it's hotter than, you know, heck. Dozens have been reported dead from the sweltering heat in parts of the globe where this isn't, where that's not common yet. Now, this is why I'm preparing for the heat with the help of this. I got to tell you, this is really cool. This amazing little device. And I absolutely love the security and peace of mind it brings me. Okay. Can you see that? Yeah, you can see that on the screen. Thanks to it, I'm able to keep my home, my office, even my wherever I'm at, essentially. Very cool. Ice cold without traditional electricity. It's a potential lifesaver if blackout occurs during one of those deadly heat waves. Now, simply place it next to you, and you can enjoy up to 25 hours of really freezing cold air from nearly anywhere. It's a perfect gift for dad for this Father's Day. Make yourself happy and cool as I am this summer by visiting Easy Summer Cool. Yeah, it's easy for me to say, right? EasySummerCool.com. That's EasySummerCool.com. Or just click on the link in the description box for up to 60% off today with a 60-day, that's right, 60-day risk-free guarantee and fast USA shipping. You know, it's easy to use, ultra-portable fan, get cool air wherever and whenever you want, long-lasting, powerful battery that lasts anywhere between 6 and 25 hours. It's got it's very quiet, by the way. It doesn't bother me a bit when I use it. It's got battery power indicators, speed regulation, lightweight and portable. And, again, the customer reviews on this will show you how well it works. You can get, again, up to, 50% off or 56% off for a limited time. So take advantage of that. That's EasySummerCool.com, EasySummerCool.com. One more time, EasySummerCool.com. But back to what I was saying about this. We are at the convergence of good versus evil. What's going to happen over the next 5 months will determine, again, the trajectory of the United States for really history, for, I believe, for the planet for the remainder. Now, sticking with that article, again, this was supposed to be about the vice presidential pick, but there was another somewhat unrelated thing that caught my attention. By the way, he does mention in there about the forced inoculation, forced jabs and COVID mandates and stuff. I have to read this. I'll read this verbatim. Where people literally stood outside of buildings while their husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, grandparents, and children died alone because government people, the type who torture beagles for a living, said that isolation was what we needed to do because that was part of the predicate for manipulating an election. Yeah. Yeah. It's coming again. You know that. But anyway. The other paragraph that caught my attention, and one that is really in the forefront of news today, believe it or not, you might not have heard it, but he writes, they crossed the Rubicon in 2020 with 51 high-ranking Intel members purposely and specifically lying to the public. But this was a creation by Jake Sullivan, I believe. Does everyone realize the scale of that, he writes? And what it meant when they took that position on such an openly visible lie right to our faces? Using our highest-ranking government intelligence members? They don't exactly come back from that. It was an all-in position, and they did it. What does that stuff in 2020? Yeah, what does that stuff in 2020 tell you about 2024? Again, in putting together this segment in this program, looking at this, they're going all out. When I say they, I'm talking about the deep state, the as Bongino calls it, the blob. Others call it the blob. This amalgamation of the intelligence community, the media, the government, executive branch, and members of the legislative branch, even some a lot in the judicial branch, the NGOs, the various non-governmental agencies, all of this together. This constitutes the deep state. And they're going balls to the wall now. And then we had, when I saw that, I happened to see this from the National Pulse. The 51 Intel officials who called Hunter Biden. Yeah. Should I do my Joe Biden impression, or was that sufficient? Hunter's hard drive, Russian disinformation, still won't apologize despite the laptop being authenticated by Biden's own Department of Justice. Now, if you've been following the Hunter Biden trial, you know that by way of that trial, the FBI verified its authenticity, yet no one is apologizing. This is page 3 in the show notes. If you go to National Pulse, extremely good publication, by the way, it does get into, and you can actually pull up the letter of the people who signed this. But, and there it is on your screen. And I would urge you to read this particular piece. It's not that long. You know, the intel officers, the IC, who signed this pre-election letter, which changed the course of the election, I will say, the letter as well as the Hunter Biden laptop. I got the Hunter Biden laptop, two copies of it, two separate copies, two separate hard drive copies. Not too long after Giuliani submitted it to the FBI, and I went through this. The meat is not the salacious stuff, although that's bad enough. The meat lies in the, or exists in the absolute exposure to the Biden crime family in depths that it's hard to even fathom. But the IC is attempting to either downplay or not comment on the letter, pretend it doesn't exist. It's saying it's old news. The laptop letter was laundered through Natasha Bertrand, a then Politico correspondent used by the intel community to plant stories in the media since her mid-20s. The CIA was involved in fast-tracking the letter, initiated by, that's right, Joseph Biden, Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. staffer, Anthony Blinken, now Secretary of State, and Jake Sullivan, I would also add, in there had a role. It is my belief and contention. Again, very important. Why is this important? Let's go to, I believe this is related. This is video 2. This is Dan Bongino from D-Day last week, from June 6th of 2024. This is cut 2 in the show notes. It's about three, I don't know, it's a few minutes long, but it's important. You have to listen to all of it. And you know what? Don't give me any crap about the obscenities used. We're at a hinge moment in time where our country's at stake. The lives of your children are at stake. Your lives are at stake. Your grandchildren's lives are at stake. This country is at stake. And it's, we need to have a national conversation about this. And if we can't have it, well, anyway, as to quote Biden, anyway, go ahead and play cut two. Dan Bongino.
It's what I call the dipsy-doo flipperoo. They just blame you for exactly what they're doing. NBC News, this article was rocking around the internet yesterday.
I didn't properly set this up. This also deals with the weaponization of the media, weaponization of the justice system. This, so all of this is combined. Again, follow me on this train of thought. When you talk about the Russian, when you assail the actual facts and actual documentation that's been authenticated, when you assail the validity, veracity of that, and then you throw out accusations against the Christian evangelical far or the right political right, this is a tactic, and the Saul Alinsky tactic rules for radicals. You understand that. This is all part of the entire process. So in that context, here's Bongino from last week. Go ahead.
Trump wins. He could weaponize U.S. spy services against his political enemies. Former intel officers warned. Are you freaking kidding me? Are these the same 51 intelligence officers who falsely bullshitted America? These scumbags, scumbags, every single one of them. You hear me? Absolute scumbags. You don't like the word? Too bad. That's what you are. A bunch of scumbag fuckwads. Fuck you guys. Pardon my language. Don't pardon my language. Fuck you guys. 51 of you pieces of shit who told America before an election that this laptop that would have changed the entire course of American history, would have kept the border closed if Trump got reelected, probably wouldn't be a Russian invasion in Ukraine, probably wouldn't have been an October 7th attack either. We'd be living in a different world right now because you 51 intelligence scumbags had to lie to the entire planet and tell everyone, thank you, tell everyone that this was here, this laptop had hallmarks of Russian intelligence, knowing you were full of shit the whole time. And now you dare, you've got the balls to say that Trump could weaponize the spy services? Folks, if this doesn't rile you up, man, and get your blood pressure up 10 points, I don't know what's, I can't help you. Why the message shift now? Why the message shift to this dipsy-doo flipperoo? Why are they getting away from Bidenomics and all this other stuff and now focusing on Trump? Trump is going to engage in lawfare. He's going to spy on people because they want to do it again. And they're afraid their operation is going to get called out. They're loving the deep state. The deep state is real. It's not some, you know, silly euphemism for a conspiracy theory. The deep state are real players. It's members of the media. It's intelligence community members. Here's the key, active and retired. It's bureaucrats within the government. It is saboteurs inside the Trump administration last time. The deep state is real. They want it to continue. And they're terrified. They're terrified because their lawfare is blowing up in their face. And they need this Hunter Biden story now to go away right now because it points to the fact that the deep state is real and the Hunter Biden case and the laptop coming out in court as an evidence, as a piece of documented evidence by the FBI, is one of the most damning indictments of the deep state you're ever going to see.
Think about that. Think about what he just said. And we have on deck John Moore, thelibertyman.com, coming real soon here. I asked him just to hold on for a second because I do want to finish this thought. And then we can certainly discuss this together. What Dan Bongino just said more eloquently than I could. Yeah. Yeah, it was brutal, blunt, passionate, but it needs to be. Brings us to the media circus that we're seeing right now. Oh, Hunter Biden on trial for a gun charge. Frankly, no, that's not the issue. That's just a really kind of a distraction. The only thing good about that trial is it validated by the FBI, by their own mouths or mouth, that the laptop is in fact real. I told you that in 2019, early 2020, it was real. Why? Because how I got both copies, well, it was real. It is real. The real important issue here that people are missing by way of this distraction of the Hunter Biden gun, throwing the gun into the dumpster. And you can go on social media. You can see Hallie Biden. Hallie, of course, the widow of Beau Biden, who I think died in Iraq and then died, in the Philippines, died in Normandy, died everywhere 100 times, according to Joe Biden. I'm not trying to disparage the death. No. It's just the what's going on. But look, the fact is this. That serves as the best evidence for the corruption of the Biden family. So what happens, and this is going to tie directly into John Moore. This is going to tie directly into everything I said last week. What happens when you start down the road of asking questions? Hey, can you, how about a FOIA about, Hunter's trips overseas with Joe Biden, Air Force One? How about, can you verify this email by way of FOIA or whatever? What happens when you start asking questions? If you, Eric the Tech, if you don't mind, pull up video 4. This is on Twitter. I retweeted this. And you can put the whole tweet up there, my tweet, I guess, to show you exactly how even today the social media is being throttled. You think you have free speech? You don't have free speech. If you, how much traction did I get on that retweet? Can you scroll down a little bit? There you go. Out of 22,600 subscribers, followers, whatever you call them. What, about a dozen, a little more than a dozen likes and 8 retweets. Yeah. Free speech, right. But Chanel Rion from OAN, One America's News. Let's play this clip, if you don't mind, Eric the Tech. 30 seconds.
Our current government is radical and dangerous. Hell, the FBI is investigating me. FBI Special Agent Elizabeth Bracco was at the door of one of my sources. Special Agent Bracco was grilling them on me, a member of the Free Press. Why? Because I was investigating Biden corruption in Ukraine. I was asking how the Bidens live in beach houses in Delaware and estates in Bel Air and are worth millions on a civil servant's salary. They'd throw me in jail if they could.
Did you get that? Ask questions and you get investigated. My own family, people closest to me, have no idea of the phone calls or text messages I get saying, what's this about? There's a federal agent asking questions about what you're doing. What are you doing? This is a fight we fight every day. And to wrap this up and bring John on, isn't it interesting that 5 months before the election, think about this. Navarro, Citizen Peter Navarro, a member of President Trump's closest, one of his closest advisors in prison, Stephen K. Bannon will be sentenced on July 1st. Why? Oh, that's a huge story by itself. Because not for refusing to honor a subpoena. No. That's what they're telling you. He said, look, I am restricted by executive privilege exerted by President Trump. I'd be more than happy to respond to this if released from that executive privilege situation. His attorney, you've probably seen his attorney come out after that sentencing hearing or that hearing last week and say, look, we're not refusing. We just can't. We can't do this. So they're going to throw him in jail. But the biggest thing here is he's got one of the most powerful audiences for President Trump on the planet. So it's shutting up Peter Navarro, shutting up Stephen Bannon, and I talked about this last week, shutting up Alex Jones. You don't think they're going to shut him down? I all but guarantee you that by Friday, this time next week, I don't believe InfoWars is going to exist in its current form. And they're going to do to Alex exactly what they did to President Trump. Take something within the bankruptcy proceedings. And I spoke to, communications with Alex about that. And I'm not going to get into depth on this. But they're going to say, hey, he lied or he did something, a bookkeeping error with respect to the bankruptcy. It's a criminal violation. We're going to charge him and then put him in jail. You don't think that's going to happen? So you've got Navarro, Bannon, Alex Jones. And here's the thing. They're coming for the rest of us. They're coming for this platform. They're coming for the Liberty Man. They're coming for other shows you watch and listen to. It's a fight every single day. Look at Chanel Rion from OAN. You think that they're just out there, you know, because? No. It's called lawfare. It's called illegally. It's third world bullshit. And we're living it right now. And if you're not living it at present, you will be. If John hasn't experienced it yet, he will be. I'm telling you right now, it's coming to your doorstep. It's already here. It's right here. TheLibertyMan.com. Thank you, John, for allowing me to go on a little bit, encroaching just a tad into your time on this, but I felt it important. We are facing a good versus evil situation. I know you're fighting the good fight, and I appreciate that, and I appreciate your spine of steel as we enter into this mess. TheLibertyMan.com. For folks unfamiliar with John, TheLibertyMan.com, TheLibertyMan.com. Go there, listen to his show, subscribe, do whatever. Support John, support his platform, because they're taking us out one by one. John Moore, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Well, Doug, good to be with you as always. We had some technical difficulties last month, but those are squared away. Well, I have some follow-up on this matter of the government coming after people who speak the truth.
Go ahead.
55 years ago, September 1969, I was an intelligence analyst with a 6th Special Forces Group, that's the Green Berets at Fort Bragg, and I was invited to give a speech at West Carolina State University and about the Vietnam War. If you go to my website, you'll see my tiger stripe fatigue. So I wore my tiger stripe fatigue, which is not an official U.S. Army uniform. I was off duty, off base, which is the requirements of the U.S. Army to speak about anything, really. And I gave that speech. It was on a weekend speech. I think it was a Saturday evening. And Monday morning when I went to work in the intelligence section of the 6th Special Forces Group headquarters, my boss, Captain Barnes, had a photograph of me giving a speech and a report from the FBI that I did, in fact, give that speech. And he says, John, listen carefully. Now, most of the guys I worked with were Vietnam vets. The 6th Special Forces Group was basically a place where the Vietnam vets came back from Vietnam in Green Berets and rested up for a few months, 2 years before they went back. He says, John, we don't mind if you give the speech. Just give us a heads up before you go so we're not blindsided by the FBI. Now, that told me a couple of things. I was only 20. I just turned 22 a month before. It told me that the guys I worked with, the Green Berets, who were career soldiers, who had families, mortgages, a paycheck, and a pension, were not going to jeopardize their paycheck and their pension and their family to speak the truth, because they simply couldn't afford to, on one hand. On the other, John Moore, who was going to be getting out of the Army in about 6 months, had no pension, had no family, had no mortgage, and I could speak the truth with no consequences. Now, you probably already know this, and most people understand that if the U.S. Army doesn't like what you're doing, they can make life very uncomfortable, to say the least. They didn't do that. I didn't lose my security clearance. I kept working in the intelligence section and continued to speak out about the war. So I've been at this more than half a century, Doug, speaking the truth and having the consequences.
Having the consequences. Would you do
That's right.
Would you do anything different?
In hindsight, yes. I didn't, you know, as a 22-year-old, I really didn't understand how to go about accomplishing my goal. In hindsight, I would have got together with some of my buddies. We would have gone to the our local congressman who was on the with the Armed Forces Subcommittee in Congress, and spoke to him at length about what was really going on in Vietnam, as opposed to what the Department of Defense was telling him.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't know. We were youngsters. What does a 22-year-old know? You know, well, not much.
Yes, but your intent was proper. Your heart was in the right place. Your mind was acutely aware of what was going on, and you were giving the dose of the truth, right? I mean,
right. Well, we're doing what we could do within our knowledge and within our ability. In hindsight, I would have done it differently, because I know things about how the system works now I had no idea back then.
Right. But okay. So you spoke up, and God bless you. But what you're doing now is a refined measure of that, by having people on talking about current issues, talking about different things, helping people, identifying problems, giving solutions. And it's, to me, it's sad, because we are all targeted right now.
And, we are.
You know,
Doug, I want to mention something before it flies away here. I watched General Flynn's documentary last night. Flynn is the name of the documentary, FLYNN.
Right.
And it's a well-done, very professionally shot documentary film, and I encourage everybody to watch it. It's on Amazon. I watched it on Cinema at no charge, by the way. And if you can possibly watch this, it will really coalesce people's knowledge and understanding of what this government will do to you if you get on the wrong side of the FBI and these related, the Department of Justice and so forth. They will just, they're absolute monsters in putting the full force of the United States government against you if you get on the wrong side of them, Doug. And it was really, for as much as I know and as much as you know, quite frankly, it was really a wake-up call as to how horrific and how monstrous the federal government of the United States can be if they choose to.
We are seeing this play out in real time. And that's why I opened up my show. There was a post at the Conservative Treehouse, again, credit to them where credit is due, about good versus evil in the context of that right now and the stakes that we face. This is no time, folks, to, you know, pick up your ball and bat and go home and say, I'm not going to play because, well, just, you know, it's too hot. It's uncomfortable. We have to address the current state of affairs. And it's interesting that we are all being victimized by the weaponized intelligence community, weaponized deep state in all aspects. You're feeling it. I'm feeling it. Certainly Alex is feeling it. Steve Bannon, who's facing prison, is feeling it. Peter Navarro in prison feeling it. This is happening, and we have to, in that context, we have to, I think, face the 2024 election knowing what the stakes are.
Absolutely.
So go ahead. I mean,
well, I can move forward from 1969 to 1972. I'm working as a paralegal in a corporate law office, and I gave another speech, and the FBI visited my place of employment to interview me. Now, that was pure intimidation to cause my employer to wonder, who the hell's John Moore and what's he's doing that the FBI is coming here to interview him? Well, luckily, my employer, who was a Marine veteran, knew that what I was doing was not illegal, not improper. He didn't fire me or cause any issues for me. But the FBI's intent was to intimidate. That was their purpose, Doug.
Of course.
It didn't work. It didn't work, of course. It didn't work. I didn't slow down. I didn't slow down a heart at all. Not well, a bit.
No. And, you know, when you look at what's happened, if you look at what's happened, for example, and you were alive for all of this, they blew the head off of a sitting president in 1963. Look, if you like him or not, okay, the deep state was part of this. The intelligence community was part of this. The CIA was part of this. Blew his head right off. And then they took Nixon. And people think, okay, well, I learned about Watergate in school. You don't know what Watergate was about. That was a silent coup against a sitting president. By the way, he walked away with the largest popular vote in American presidential election history. That was Richard Nixon. And then Reagan, the assassination attempt. And when that didn't work, the Iran-Contra stuff. And then Trump, two impeachments. But prior to that, you had the Russian collusion hoax. So when all this didn't work, then we're gonna open up lawfare, a can of lawfare on his behind. And now what's left for President Trump? I got a bad feeling about this. But anyway,
well,
so go ahead.
It's no secret that the assassination of President Trump is being discussed openly by people who don't like President Trump, and concern about from people like myself and you who do support President Trump. It's about the only thing left. President Trump is raising unprecedented amounts of money. His polling numbers are raising in the traditionally blue Democratic areas among blacks, among Latinos. And the Democrats are running scared, as well they should be. Everything they've tried has exploded in their face. These trials have resulted in, and even a conviction, have resulted in President Trump being more popular than ever, raising more money than ever, going to the Bronx and pulling in, what, 25,000 people? The congresswoman from there, AOC, she may pull 500 or 600 in a meeting, but not 25,000. So the Democratic Party is running scared, as well they should. Of course, will Joe Biden be the candidate? It's highly unlikely that this man who can't string together a complete sentence without screwing it up is going to be the candidate. But I keep wondering, Doug, will President Trump call out the Biden as being one of two or maybe three individuals pretending to be the president? It's easily provable. The photograph governance is at my website. The real Joe Biden has a detached earlobe like I do. The fake Joe Biden has an attached earlobe, and it's easily provable by the multiple photographs and videos taken every week of this man. In hindsight, you can look at the State of the Union given in January of this year. It was the fake Joe Biden that gave the State of the Union, because he clearly had an attached earlobe. Thank you for putting that up, Eric.
And folks, this is from thelibertyman.com, his website. Go there, and you can drill down on this. Go ahead.
Continue. Well, you know, once I've pointed out the evidence, Any person who watches the nightly news can easily verify for themselves that there's two Joe Bidens, or maybe three, but we know there's at least two.
So let me ask this question of you then. Why are all three of them complete morons and idiots and walking in the walls and human Roombas?
Why? Okay, well, that's a great question. I've addressed this previously and other times. First of all, the real Joe Biden is a stumbling, bumbling, elderly man. The fake Joe Biden is a much younger professional actor, and there may be two of them doing it, who are doing what they're told to do, portraying a man who's a fumbling, bumbling idiot who can't speak properly, who can't walk properly, because they're professional actors who can do this on cue. So that's what's going on there, Doug. It's all scripted. It's all rehearsed. It's all planned in advance.
Interesting you should say that. A lot of people in my investigative career, a lot of people don't know. It really doesn't matter. I had the opportunity to, before her death and before the death of her attorney husband, to talk with Laura Branigan. I don't know how many people remember Laura Branigan from her singing and concerts and stuff, but very popular. And her husband was an attorney. And I remember something she said to me that really struck, that goes along with what you said. And by the way, the interview was about, had nothing to do with her career. She said, in order for you to, something to the effect of, in order for you to sing badly, pretend to sing badly, you've got to be able to sing well. So in other words, what she was saying is, essentially what you're saying, you've got to be a good actor. You have to be a good actor before you can act like a moron, I suppose, or act like the real Joe Biden. Does that make sense?
Well, I agree absolutely, Doug. Given the gravity of the consequences of choosing one or possibly two actors to pretend to be President Biden, they would go to great lengths to make sure that the actor or actors were very good, very well trained, and excellent at what they do, pretending to be somebody else, pretending to be as competent or incompetent as they're asked to do. And that's exactly what they did, Doug. Now, you know, here I am, a former homicide detective, a 45-minute drive from the nearest red, yellow, and green traffic signal deep in the mountains of Missouri Ozarks. If I know this, is there any doubt that the high-level people in Washington, D.C. don't know this? Of course not. Of course not. Is there any doubt that President Trump hasn't been briefed on this? Of course not. No doubt whatsoever. Now, will he choose to expose it? I don't know. Why hasn't he yet? I don't know. Will he expose it during the debate? It'd be a great time. But it needs to be exposed because what's going on here is simply unacceptable, Doug.
You know, President Trump wants a drug test done. Maybe we should have DNA, drug, and everything else done. You know, I mean, seriously. By the way, the ear print from a forensic point of view, the ear print is almost like would almost be like a fingerprint.
Now, well, it's been a century ago, you're right. Before they decided to go with fingerprints, the ear was looked at as a viable alternative to fingerprints more than a century ago.
Yeah, exactly. So you make a good point there. And some people might say, well, you know, he had cosmetic surgery done. No.
If that was true, you'd only see one Joe Biden with the same ear.
Yeah.
But any given week, you see both Joe Bidens with the different ears.
That, again, point well taken. So what is... So to the skeptics out there saying, well, boy, they're, you know, okay, but what's the objective here of having more than one? Well, one's too many in my view, but that's, and don't take that out of context of the
facts. Well, there's maybe some practical aspects of this. The real Joe Biden may not have the physical stamina and energy to conduct business as president of the United States, because simply he's too weak, doesn't have the energy. So from a practical point of view, they may want a professional paid actor to stand in for him when Joe Biden doesn't have the stamina to do that. Now, there's also somewhat reliable reports that the real Joe Biden defecates on himself while in public. It's kind of a side issue to me, but there is some evidence of that.
A side issue, but that's important because we saw that in Normandy, course for the fact check. Oh no, he was attempting. He got confused and was reaching for a chair, non-existent chair, or the chair was far behind. Okay, that's better. That's better than right. Toddler squat. Go ahead.
Right. I agree. It's in a greater scheme of things, I look at that as a side issue, not as important as having a body double in there to begin with. Now, kings and potentates and presidents have used body doubles for centuries as a security measure when they're going to be exposed to a possible assassination on one hand. On the other, the State of the Union takes place in the U.S. Capitol building in the House of Representatives chamber, which should be as secure as any place on the planet, given the capabilities of both Secret Service and the Capitol Police. Obviously, no threat whatsoever for the President of the United States to address a joint session of Congress. But even under those circumstances, they still used the body double instead of the real Joe Biden.
Hmm. Well, regardless, I mean, not regardless. I understand what you're saying. The American people, I think, as we look at this year, I believe this is a year of exposure. I really do. Exposing the, everything from what you're talking about to the injurious shots, to the real agenda of depopulation, to the lawfare
stuff. Let's talk about the shots for just a bit. There's a couple, since we talked last, a couple of major things that come up. One of the most recent things, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, Federal Court of Appeals, ruled in the last few days that the COVID vaccination is not a vaccination, that it's a treatment. Now, that's major. Why is it major? Well, because, first of all, the treatments don't work, and the treatments are dangerous, and it'll help show the entire world that we've been bamboozled into believing that a treatment is a vaccine. So that's number one. Number two, it's been about 8 or 10 days ago, the top oncologist in Japan, the top cancer doctor in Japan, has gone public saying these COVID vaccinations are killing people with cancer. That's another major step forward to reveal the reality of these COVID vaccinations being part of the worst crime in human history, which they are. I saw a video made recently, a woman claiming to be a CDC employee. She showed her CDC ID badge, claiming that people got the COVID vaccination and will be dead in six months to 3 years, trying to get the warning out herself. She's sitting in her car seat while she did the little video. So we keep adding to the evidence. And Doug, you just as myself, we know real evidence when we see it. A ruling by the Ninth Judicial Circuit Court of Appeals is as strong as evidence as you're going to find. The top oncologist cancer doctor in Japan making a statement the way he did is about as strong as evidence as you're going to find. And more and more, we're seeing the exposure of the real evidence, aren't we, Doug?
You know, we are. And you were one of the first out there through your program, thelibertyman.com. Folks, go there. And through your guests and through your contacts, you were one of the first to really expose this. And really, all Americans should be very thankful to you for what you've done. Hold that thought. I want to thank, again, our supporters and our sponsors, including DontWastePower.com. Folks, in recent years, 34 million households reported difficulty in paying their energy bills or kept their houses at unsafe temperatures in an attempt to lower their costs. Power bills have been rising nationwide for many cities. They've increased 30% more, perhaps, just this past decade alone. Yet the power companies and their shareholders show no signs of whatsoever of lowering costs, which is why I'm taking action. I have taken action. I'm lowering my energy bills with the help of a magical little device. Look on your screen. I absolutely love the money I'm saving with it. Thanks to it, I'm able to help slash my power bills, beat the power companies, and keep more money in my pocket every month. All at the same time, it's a device that plugs into my home's wall outlet. I've got three in my home. I've got a couple here in the studio, and it works. I've seen the savings. Okay. And it keeps the appliances from wasting unnecessary energy, reduces my electrical usage, supports a consistent and safe flow of electricity throughout my home, and much, much more. The cost savings in the first month alone proved to me, and this is true, proved to me that it was one of the best purchases I made all year. Go to don'twastepower.com. That's don'twastepower.com. Or very simply click in the link in the description box below to get the nation's leading way to lower your energy bills up to 66% off and free express shipping right now, plus several other bonuses with every order completely for free. Folks, it's a great Father's Day gift, too. I'm telling you what, dad'll like the savings it provides. That's don'twastepower.com, don'twastepower.com. All right, my guest, John Moore, thelibertyman.com. A man of many talents, and one a man I respect. Can we talk about January 6th for a moment?
Because let's do that. I had three correspondents on the ground January 6th doing live reports on my show during January 6th. A number of friends who were there on January 6th, and that whole narrative that it was a insurrection is being blown out of the water as well. My friend Sam Anders, who you know, Sam, of course, he reported just recently about the obvious provocateurs who were there trying to make trouble, trying to stir up the crowd and get them motivated to do what was done. The director of the FBI, under oath in front of Congress, refused to say how many of his people were there undercover. Within the crowd. He just absolutely refused. I've investigated a number of homicides. One of my jobs as a homicide investigator for the defense was to give the don't talk speech. So the law firm would be, well, this, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about, but for our audience. So we get hired by the defendant charged with first degree murder. And the attorney would say, John, get over there right now to the jail and talk to our client and give the don't talk speech. So I'd walk across the street to the jail and meet with the defendant. And I would tell him the reality of where he was. First of all, you have no friends. Nobody in here is your friend. You don't talk to anybody about your case, your cellmate, the guards, anybody. You simply don't do it. You can talk about baseball. You can talk about weather. You can talk about your favorite car, but you cannot and will not talk about your case, anything that happened. Now, typically within 24 hours, 48 at the most, if it's a weekend, maybe 48 hours, that defendant charged with first degree murder would be brought before a judge. The prosecutor would attempt to convince the judge of two things: that the murder took place, and our guy was likely the guy that did it. At that point, the judge would set bond, and the defendant could either make bond or stay in jail. And that would be not only for murder, but for shoplifting, for armed robbery, for stealing a car, whatever it is. Bond would be set, and the defendant would have the opportunity to post that bond and be released from custody until the trial. Now, that didn't happen with what might be called and what is called misdemeanor trespassing for the majority of these January 6 defendants. They were not brought before a judge within 24 or 48 hours. They were not read the charges. They did not. Their bond was not set. What's happened since January 6 has completely turned our judicial system upside down. And it's completely wrong on the face of it, Doug, that men and women charged with misdemeanor trespassing, when the door was held open by the Capitol Police, by the way, they walked through and stayed within the boundaries of the velvet-covered ropes let them know where they could go. And looked at the artwork. They looked at the statues. They caused no harm whatsoever and walked back out. And they've been arrested and charged with misdemeanor trespassing, but not brought before a judge, not have the opportunity to post bail, sitting in jail now for 2.5 years, Doug. It's simply unacceptable.
I'm 100% in agreement with you on this. Now, you had some bad actors in there. Who knows if they were assets of the feds or Antifa, BLM. It doesn't really matter. But there was no distinction.
But even them.
Go ahead.
Even the bad actors who were destroying property, even they should be treated at least the same way somebody charged with murder should be charged.
Absolutely, man. You know? Absolutely.
And they weren't given that opportunity.
No, you're 100%. Yeah.
Now, destruction, you know, going to the Capitol and breaking glass or damaging furniture, whatever they did, obviously that's a crime. Obviously, they should be charged with a crime. And just as obviously, they should be given at least the same treatment as somebody charged with murder. And they weren't.
Well, exactly. And we have to remember, never forget those prosecuted for January 6th. And by the way, that is still the prosecutions, the FBI, they're still coming after people who weren't even at the Capitol.
They still are.
For conspiracy. Ask me how I know. Okay. So the at issue here, as an investigator yourself, at issue, you're looking at what? Proceedings on January 6th, where 140 House Republicans were going to contest the election results during that certification process that was scheduled for that day, right?
Right.
That's a core issue. Okay, so then you had this dust up at the Capitol, and then you had the ancillary issue. President Trump. Well, you know, he caused this insurrection. Which go ahead. Go ahead.
Doug, come on. I'm just
repeating what the lamestream media says.
Well, it's now known very well that President Trump requested the National Guard to be there on site to keep the peace.
Man, I am so glad. I am so glad you brought that up.
Nancy Pelosi refused to do that.
Okay. Let me show. I don't know whether you saw this because it's got no press. No press. Oh, man, you made my day. Hang on a second here. Where'd it go? All right, here it is right here. Right here, show notes. This is about two minutes roughly. This is video one, in case you're wondering. This was a hearing a couple of weeks ago. When was this? No, it was a couple of months ago. April 17th, 2024. You were talking about the National Guard, weren't you?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, guess what? Again, this got no coverage. None, zero, nada, nada, nada. But guess what? You're going to get the scoop right here. John, let me treat you to this colonel who accuses the Milley, you know, General Milley and other people of lying to Congress about the D.C. National Guard on January 6th. What the delay was all about. This is video one. Bear with me. It's about 2.5 minutes long. Here it is.
I now recognize Colonel Earl Matthews for 5 minutes.
Chairman Loudermilk, Ranking Member Torres, members of the subcommittee, good morning. And thank you for the opportunity to appear before you today. My name is Earl Matthews, and I'm a colonel in the United States Army Reserve. I'm in the 25th year of my military service. I love our Army, and I'm committed to our Army values. I'm here today because two senior general officers of the United States Army, General Charles A. Flynn and Lieutenant General Walter E. Piatt, have acted contrary to those values. Generals Piatt and Flynn have lied to Congress, to federal investigators and to the American people about why it took so long for the District of Columbia National Guard to deploy to the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Their distortions contributed to a deeply and fundamentally flawed Department of Defense Inspector General investigation and to deficiencies in other official inquiries. On January 6, 2021, I was on duty and present during numerous conversations, video conferences, and phone calls leading up to, during, and after the riot, which was engulfing the Capitol. When I say these general officers lied, I do not do so lightly or cavalierly. I speak from personal knowledge, having interacted with them on January the 6th in my official military capacity.
Okay, you can
unfortunately,
cut that. Folks, if you want that, plus there's a second video that gets into the more specific detail, but he blames Milley, he blames Charles Flynn, he blames Muriel Bowser and Nancy Pelosi and others in this political scheme, and he was there. He was there for the phone calls, the requests, which went unheeded. He was there. This guy blows it out of the water along with four others with him on the dais. There it is, John. But it got no coverage.
No, zero. No. And when the January 6th committee was being run by the Democrats, they did a lot of things to make sure the truth was not revealed. For example, the Secret Service driver of President Trump's vehicle was prohibited from telling the truth that President Trump did not get upset and attempt to take control of the vehicle, even though he volunteered to testify about the truth. He was prohibited from doing so. And, of course, now he's had a chance to come forward with the truth of what did not happen in that vehicle that day.
Yeah, I heard it from a friend who heard it from a friend who heard. But she, who was that woman?
I don't recall her name, but she wasn't there. She wasn't there.
Yeah, but I heard it from a friend. Who heard it from this friend? What was that song? REO Speed? I don't know. Anyway, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Never happened. And the unselect committee. And by the way, Bannon, Steve Bannon, who is facing jail time over his reluctance to testify before the committee. See, that committee was not a legitimate committee. People got to understand this. There was no ranking minority member, nor was there any. Not only was there no ranking minority member part of the staff or part of that committee, there was no legal counsel as dictated by the committee structure. So it was a sham committee, and like you, I'm sure you know, a lot of the evidence from the committee destroyed. What do you do with evidence using a trial, John?
No, it's pretty sure. Doug, it doesn't matter if it's stealing a car or shoplifting. Those records are preserved in perpetuity. They are. They're never destroyed, ever.
And there it is. Leave it to a couple of lowly investigators to tell you the truth. But you know, and by the way, if you get caught screwing with the evidence tampering?
Oh, that's serious stuff. Really, really serious stuff. Yeah. And withholding exculpatory evidence is a crime in and of itself. And I've seen that done personally in one murder case I worked. It took 10 years for this guy to be exonerated because the attorney general's attorney filed a motion to the judge to withhold exculpatory evidence from the jury. It took 10 years. This guy sat in prison for 10 years for something he didn't do until it was finally overturned by the Missouri Supreme Court.
Man. That's And yet, you know, we what do we see? I mean, John, because you served as a longtime investigator, a homicide investigator, specifically, would you ever think, like in New York City, for example, that Alvin Bragg would, take 53% of felonies, reduce them to misdemeanors. I mean, can you even fathom that? Would you ever, in your wildest dreams, during the height of your career as an investigator, would you ever think that would be possible for a DA to do that?
No.
Ah.
You know, and it was pretty funny watching the head of the Department of Justice talk about one of his attorneys leaving the Department of Justice to become an assistant district attorney for over New York.
Matthew Colangelo, yeah.
Yeah, and it was anybody who has any understanding at all about a career path within the judicial system would know that it'd be like a heart surgeon volunteering to remove splinters. I mean,
yeah, and folks know these names and know the process. You don't do that. You don't go from the number three at the Department of Justice to an assistant to the district attorney in New York. No, you don't do that. That's not natural. Oh, heavens. It's not natural. And people are walking around. I don't know if they're stoned or if they're, I mean, what the hell? Yeah, exactly, John. Exactly. Go ahead, sir.
Absolutely. Well, Alan Dershowitz is one of the most respected legal minds outside of the Supreme Court that there is. There's no doubt. And he's a lifelong Democrat, doesn't even like President Trump. And even Alan Dershowitz, the legal, law professor, the legal scholar, says, I can't figure out what the man was convicted of. Now, I don't need any more authority than that. Do you, Doug?
No, but it helps to have some. Do you ever remember a trial where the actual predicate crimes were not disclosed until the jury instructions? What the hell?
No. And jury instructions included not having a unanimous verdict. There's so many things wrong. In fact, I was at the meeting recently with the current prosecuting attorney of my county and a former prosecutor and the sheriff, or some others there. But the four of us all agreed that there was multiple examples of reversible error in this trial. On the face of it, you don't need to be a legal scholar to understand reversible error happened. Reversible error means, ladies and gentlemen, that things were done wrong that would cause the verdict to be overturned at a higher level. That's what reversible error is. Multiple times that the judge allowed, and it was even part of sometimes.
Have you ever been a part of a trial? And I know, look, we've both been parts of state and federal trials, local magisterial trials as well. But have you ever been? Have you ever seen a defendant, a judge ordering or a judge issuing a gag order against a defendant before? Have you ever seen that?
No, not at all. And the political nature of this is so blatant on the face of it. It reminds me of places south of our border where the guy who loses the election gets prosecuted, gets thrown in jail, or the guy opposing the current president gets prosecuted and thrown. That's the term banana republic comes right out of Central America, where bananas are the primary cash crop, by the way, because that's the way things are done south of our border and have been for decades, haven't they?
Yeah. Now let me ask your professional advice if you were advising the president, if he does make it to election day, does win, does take over on the in January of 2025. Let me ask you a question: would you? It's turnabout fair play in this case. Would you then say, okay, you went to play that game? All right, here's what we're going to do. We are going to. Oh, I don't know. Indict Obama. Indict Clinton, for crying out loud. Either one. Indict whoever. How would you handle the deconstruction of this lawfare?
Okay. Let's go back to the House Un-American Activities Committee that was disbanded. I believe in the 1950s, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
it was promised that the duties of the House Un-American Activities Committee would be taken over by at least one more House subcommittee. Part of what was done back then was a loyalty oath for all federal employees. That was done away with. It needs to be brought back. And many men and women that are honest will refuse to take a loyalty oath if they're not loyal Americans. That would eliminate a lot right there.
Hold that thought. I just want to make one correction because I know I'm going to get an email about this. The House Un-American Activities Committee ran from 1938 to the 40s into the 50s, and then it was disbanded as it existed at that time, and then it was known from 1969 onwards to I think 75 to the Church Committee as the House Committee on Internal Security, just to be
purists,
for purists out there. Go ahead.
Well, we're going to have a lot of purists watching and listening, of course. Well, thank you, Doug. We had protocols in place to make sure that we didn't have communists in positions of trust and responsibility. Those were done away with. They need to be brought back. Senior executive service is another area where once you've reached that level of the senior executive service, you have a very special status that protects you despite what you may or may not do. That needs to be done away with because it's similar to a college professor having tenure. You know, it gives them free rein to do almost anything they damn well please. It needs to be accountability. And the senior executive service does away with much of the accountability that existed for decades before that. If you're in a position of trust and responsibility, even if you're in Congress, a security background check needs to be done. How in the world can we have a person on the House Intelligence Committee who has a Chinese agent as a girlfriend? How is that even possible? Well, it is, and it happened, and it will continue to happen unless proper protocols are put in place to prevent it from happening, Doug.
You know, what you said there about the loyalty oath, I love history, and I love getting into especially that part of history, political history, about what happened, how we got here. And it was Eisenhower who signed an executive order known as the Executive Fifth Amendment, meaning that the investigation of communist agents and infiltration into our government. Now, this is under Eisenhower, 1952, around in May sometime, he signed this order. So the House, at that time, the House on American Activities Committee could not question what is now known as the senior executive service staff or permanent bureaucrats. They could not question them about their allegiances to the country or to communism. And folks, you can look it up. Executive Fifth Amendment by Eisenhower. Just for a little bit of tidbit of knowledge for the listeners and viewers. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I had some personal experience with similar things. A few months before I graduated as a paralegal, I found out about the a group that helps legal professionals, I thought, to have a better career, have better networking. And so they had a conference in Austin, Texas. And I went there with several young, they were all students in law school, including one young man who later became a Missouri Supreme Court justice. And I walk in the door of this convention, and a woman on stage is saying at the top of her lungs how proud she was to be a communist. And I thought, oh, my God, what have I gotten myself into? And, of course, I dropped my membership in that group immediately. But groups like this publicly hold themselves out to be something they're not. And that's how they suck people in. And the public is not aware of what these groups really do behind closed doors.
The anti-communist people, if you can follow that, have been infiltrated by communists. So you can't make this stuff up. John, whatever you want to talk about, open floor to you. We got about 11, 12 minutes left, something like that. So you know what, brother? It's been too long. So
well, it has been. It's been a couple of months, and I apologize for the technical issues we've had. But Doug, it's becoming more and more clear that the COVID vaccinations are, in fact, hurting and killing people, that the purpose is to make women sterile, to make men sterile, to kill people. And we know that different batches were given to different zip codes. There's more and more evidence, growing evidence, that the blue cities and blue states got less of the dangerous, fatal class shots, where the red areas got more of the batches that hurt and kill people. And that evidence is growing. And I've known for more than 2 years that the vaccination were determined by what you got was determined by the zip code you live in. You know, there can only be one reason for that. There was different batches for different zip codes, obviously, and clearly there was. I've not found or learned of any definitive treatment to mitigate the effects of the clot shot, other than trying to stay as healthy as possible. What the clot shot does, these vaccinations do, is they destroy your immune system. They're now giving and still encouraging 6-month-old babies to get the COVID vaccinations. That will soon, probably before the year is over, they're going to reduce that to newborn babies getting the COVID vaccinations, which do in fact wreck a developed immune system. What's it going to do to a newborn infant who basically has no immune system and it has to be developed? It will wreck them for the rest of their lives. So the word is, don't get the COVID vaccination. Don't get a booster.
What if they roll out? Because I know Michael Yon in Japan next week or this week, they're going to be giving out new mRNA injections, a new type.
No vaccination for any reason. How about okay. that?
All right.
None. Zero. Zippo.
Works for me.
No vaccination of any kind for any reason. They're all bad. They're all harmful. And they don't do what they claim to do. They're not safe. They're not effective. And they are dangerous. An excellent documentary, Vaxxed, that's V-A-X-X-E-D, Victor Alpha, X-ray, Echo Delta. There's a follow-up one, but the first one is more than enough to educate yourself about the true nature of these vaccines, how they came about in the first place 2-plus centuries ago, what they do, and how they work, and how they're harmful to anybody and everybody.
Amen.
Absolutely. I like to point out the Amish community, which doesn't get vaccines of any kind for any reason. There are some, very few that do. If you want to see a healthy population of men, women, boys, and girls, it would be the Amish community, which gets no vaccinations. They simply don't. And I say good for them, Doug, don't you?
100%. Do you think they're going to mandate some other form of...
It's coming. The bird flu and the bird flu vaccinations appear to be the next attempt to get more people to inject more poison in their arms. And they'll have success similar to the last time, hopefully much reduced. Going back to the earlier part of our discussion, people lost trust in the what's called the intelligence community. People lost trust of anything and everything to do with the medical community and big pharma. That's a growing by leaps and bounds for good reason. They can't be trusted, Doug.
No, they can't. Do you see any prosecution or anyone being held to account?
If it happens, it'll happen at the state attorney general level. The Department of Justice is too corrupt. President Trump may or may not be able to change that, but we have about 19 attorney generals who are already looking into prosecuting Big Pharma and others, CDC, the National Institute of Health, and others for these crimes that they have and still are committing. So that's where the action is going to be, if it happens at all, Doug.
Amen to that. The more I look, I see this awakening taking place, but concurrent with the awakening, I see an equally aggressive desperation. I just see that the left feels, I believe, that they're going to lose power, and they cannot afford to lose power. So they're becoming increasingly desperate. So we're either going to, to me, either we're going to end up in a wag the dog kind of scenario with war. We're going to end up with another plandemic, maybe more lethal this time, and lockdowns that go with it, or something else, which I don't know what it would be. But something happening to maybe President Trump in an effort to destroy the America First populist movement. So, I mean, we're going to talk about this, but what do you see taking place in the near term, do you think? I mean, do you think?
Well, they need a major issue to have mail-in ballots once again. They need a different candidate than Joe Biden. They're going to have Plan A and Plan B and Plan C. The chance of major civil disorder in the big cities is a clear and present danger. World War III exploding in our face is a clear and present danger. A make-believe bird flu pandemic with the attendant vaccinations is a real threat. The economy imploding is a real threat. So take your pick, Doug, and one does not preclude the other. We could have two or three or more of these things all happening at the same time, Doug.
100% accurate. Yeah, none of these are mutually exclusive to the other. And I think perhaps the entire kitchen sink is going to be tossed at us. And we have to prepare accordingly. And by the way, folks, speaking of preparation, go to thelibertyman.com. Make sure you're prepped with whatever John might have to offer, his sponsors, the people that support that show, and John Moore himself support him as well as being this man out there ringing the alarm, saying, hey, pay attention. That's thelibertyman.com. Listen, you from thelibertyman.com, you can also go to his radio show, his shows, and listen. And
well, my show is Monday through Friday.
Yeah, there you
go. That's from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 to 10 Central. And there's archives. You can listen anytime you like.
I love it. Yeah. And it's to me, when you drill down on the archives, it's necessary show prep for me. I'd like to go back and hear what you said, three, 4 years ago. And again, I've found that you were ahead of the curve on all of this. And again, folks, that's thelibertyman.com. John Moore, please support him. John, we got about 3 minutes left. Again, the floor is yours.
Well, going back in time to May the 7th, 2020, I issued two warnings, right? A warning and a belief. The first warning is that the COVID vaccinations were already in refrigerators waiting to be distributed, which we now know was true. And my second statement, that you cannot create a safe and effective vaccine in 9 months or less, another true statement. And that 8-minute clip is right there at my website at thelibertyman.com. So you're right, Doug. I've been at this a long time, speaking publicly for more than half a century about the true nature of what's going on with our government, with these wars and so forth.
Do we fight? I had to think when I say, well, a better question, how do we fight now? Now, how do we fight? If do you believe that
we encourage people? It's disappointing how many conservative Christian patriots are not even registered to vote. So we need to encourage our friends, neighbors, coworkers that are conservative Christian patriots to both register to vote. It's still time to do that, and go to the polls and help elect conservative Christian patriots at every level of government. City council, mayors, state reps, state senators, riding the coattails of President Trump. That needs to happen nationwide, Doug.
I'm not the old saying, you can't vote yourself out of tyranny. I don't know if we're there yet, but if we're not there, we're awful damn close. I have to say that. John, I appreciate your time with me. God bless you, man. I'll tell you what, it's been too long. We're going to rectify that. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. I want to thank you.
Thank you, Doug. It's great, as always. Forward to being with you soon.
All right, brother. Thank you. Folks, that was John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Make sure you bookmark his website and certainly go back and listen to his show. Listen to it currently and also the archives. Folks, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I don't know how long we've got on air. I don't. But I can tell you this, they're coming for us.